Well, I know that we all have one of these, a Bible. You know, it's interesting about this book, 66 individual different books, an Old Testament and a New Testament. We know as we go through there's many, many, many people, lots and lots and lots of stories, but here's the thing. Even though it contains all of that, it really is only one story. There is only one story in this book, and it's the history of our salvation. But to understand the story, what we all need to do is we all need to go back to the very, very beginning, where it all started. And we see that story in this thing called the Jesse tree, or the family tree of Jesus. And that story is our story. You know, it's one thing we all have seen. We've all seen trees, right? Pine trees, palm trees, oak trees, pine trees, all these kind of trees. And regardless of the trees that we have seen, even the largest tree that you've ever seen in your life, they all start out the same way, from a little seed. That seed gets planted, and over time it grows, and it grows, and it grows. And so our story begins. We need to go back, as I said, back to the very, very beginning, way back to the story of how our story of salvation began. And it starts out beautifully, the beautiful work that the Creator had done. It says, all that the Creator made was called good. The story of creation begins with the words, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the history of the universe begins. The crown of creation on that sixth day says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So creation, including the human race, was not by accident, it wasn't by chance, but by the intentional act of the eternal God. And again, God saw what he had made, and again, he called whatever he saw, whatever was made, he said, it is good. And at the end, he said, it's very good. Everything was in harmony, everything was in balance, everything was perfect. It was good. And for the man and the woman, God planted a garden, and it was there that they were placed, the garden called Eden. And there our first parents lived a life of harmony and peace with nature, with each other, and with their Creator. And this thing called sin and the ugliness of sin, nowhere to be found. But things changed. Eden was to become a memory of the past. Eden was a paradise. It was beautiful, it was perfect. But as I said, it didn't last. And we see the effects every day when we look out into our world. The problem is, the horror of the story is, we see the ugliness. We see brokenness and we see sin. We see hatred. We see war. We see despair and hopelessness. And so everything that we see, whether it's with our own eyes or on TV or stories that we hear about, all bear witness to what happened there in that garden. The story's familiar. Serpent tempts the woman. And while this temptation is going on, the husband stands nearby and watches. She eats the fruit, he eats the fruit. And they reject the loving law that the Creator had given them. The initial sin is not actually in the eating of the fruit. but rather in their hearts choosing to listen to the serpent and rejecting that law that had been given. Doubt had been planted in their minds. What's God doing? He's holding out on us. Or they started seeing and wanting something different than what God's plan was for them. And that act of eating only basically confirmed what had already happened in their hearts. And it changed everything. And it closed the gates of Eden to all humanity. But here's the thing that didn't change. God's love didn't change. Even in spite of what just happened, God's love did not change. So what does God do to those who sinned against him? They rebelled against him. They rose up against him. Did he leave them without hope? Did he leave them without redemption? Did he say, I'm done, and walk away? No. Because that's not the nature of God. The Bible says God is love. He's love itself, and that love reached out to Adam and Eve and to all of their descendants. It was in love that he created Adam and Eve, this man and this woman. And so he would provide a way of redemption, a way of salvation. And it was only something that he could do. And we see his grace and his mercy playing out. A promise was given of a new creation. You see, a seed is promised. Sin brings death, and yet from that death springs life. Adam and Eve and all the generations that follow have borne the curse our sin has earned. But all along the way, our Creator has not deserted us. On the contrary, what does he do? He gives us a promise. So here is the very first promise of salvation that's given. And it's given immediately after that first sin was done and the darkness started falling. It says, the Lord said to the serpent, this is in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The serpent's judgment would involve defeat by the woman's offspring. And that word for offspring here is the word for seed. And here the love of God shines through the darkness. And God shows grace to Adam and Eve in promising them a way to defeat the serpent and be restored to a right relationship with God, their Creator. There would be one seed that would defeat the serpent. And yet that seed would not be the seed of a man and a woman. The seed is the seed of the woman. A miraculous and divine conception that would take place. In a sense, a new tree would grow. This tree of Jesse, per se, begins with a seed. A seed present but dormant in Eve. And in love, God remembered his promise through every generation of fallen humanity. But here's the thing, it would be a time of waiting and waiting. And it seems like that's always kind of as at the heart of some of the problems that we deal with or struggle through. It's the waiting part. To wait and wait and wait. We all have hopes and dreams that seem unfulfilled right now. I bet every one of us does. We're longing for something. We're waiting for something. We're hoping for something. And it hasn't fulfilled itself yet. And sometimes that can take a toll on us. We're all waiting for things. I mean, even in the practical way, we're just sitting here waiting and saying, all right, even looking forward, are we going to be able to have services on Christmas Eve? What is it going to look like? How long is this thing going to take? And just the inner turmoil in so many of our lives right now, just wondering, how is this going to play out? And we wait and we wonder. And it can be hard to perceive God's love and care for us when we aren't always able to see the work, maybe with our own eyes at that particular point in time. It's difficult to live in tension of knowing God's love for us, and then what we see in a sense, or maybe perceive at the moment, seems like God's inactivity. It's those times of silence that really kind of we struggle through at times. Where, in a sense, is God? How is this going to play out? But it's interesting, as that time progresses, it says in Scripture, but in the fullness of time, when the time had come, when the time was right, in the womb of a daughter of Eve, the Virgin Mary, that promised seed would come, spring forth, and grow. This was a seed of the woman promised at the fall. And from her womb would come the God-man, Jesus Christ. The Redeemer showed up. And all that was lost in Adam is restored in the seed of the woman. Here's the Christ. Here's the Messiah. Here's the promised one. Here is the Lamb of God, the one and perfect sacrifice whose blood reverses the curse of the fall and brings grace and forgiveness to the whole human race. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. This is the new Adam, who takes upon himself the sin of the old Adam and every human being, and he carries it to the cross. And he dies for that, taking upon himself the punishment that we all deserved. He bore it in our place. And from the tree of Eden would come death to all humanity. But from the tree of Calvary would come life to all humanity. This is Jesus, the seed of Jesse's tree. And through him, the Eden that was lost is restored for all eternity. I like kind of the question someone asks in the midst of this. Odd, isn't it, that we believe God's unexpected ways can be trusted with things as important as our salvation and eternity, but not with the details and daily burdens of our lives? That's kind of a statement that kind of hits us. You know, we can embrace that, but then in the things that maybe we're going through in our life right now, God did all that for us in all this miraculous way throughout time and history, and he brought Jesus, but that's the same God that's with us maybe in what we're going through right now. And it's during the times in our lives when maybe God seems silent, he's often working in ways we can't see or understand to prepare us for what he has next, what he has in store next. One of the things I'm going to be talking about this coming Wednesday. But it's interesting, just thinking in terms of from the last book written in the Old Testament to the time that Jesus came is a period about 400 years. Talk about a time period of silence. But in those time period of 400 years that was almost really quiet, really silent, everything was coming into play and into place that became the perfect time for Christ the Messiah to be born. Sometimes it's in those times of waiting that we hope with anticipation. But God has something amazing planned next. He calls us to trust him, to hope in him, to wait in him. That's one of the things that we will be talking about through the season this year. Even in those weary times of life, God is there with his love and his patience, his grace, his mercy, his strength, everything that we need during these times of waiting. He loves us. He loves you. We wait on him. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.